Welcome back. New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced today that the state's mask mandate would be allowed to expire this week as COVID cases and hospitalizations ease. New York joins a number of other states across the country in removing certain virus-related restrictions as Omicron-related cases pull back from a record level earlier in January. Let's take a listen to what Governor Hochul had to say.
We had a mask or vax requirement for businesses. It was an emergency temporary measure put in place literally 2 months ago. And at this time, we say that is the right decision to lift this mandate for indoor businesses and let counties, cities, and businesses to make their own decisions on what they want to do with respect to mask or the vaccination requirement. Given the declining cases, given declining hospitalizations, that is why we feel comfortable to lift this in effect tomorrow.
For more on this topic, we're welcoming in Dr. Andre Campbell, professor of surgery at UCSF and ICU physician and trauma surgeon at Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. Dr. Campbell, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Where you are in California, officials have also said that they'll be ending an indoor mask mandate next week for the vaccinated. Do these lifted mandates make sense from a health perspective based on where we are right now in cases, in your view?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. It is a time where things are changing. It's a very dynamic pandemic. We thought everything was fine after we had a Delta surge and Omicron come on us, and we actually had a worse run than we had before. So what the mandate in California says is that if you're vaccinated, you can take off your mask inside. That's triply vaccinated. You could do that. And it's relying on the businesses to enforce it. So things are easing. There's 65% less cases, but we still have 100,000 people in the hospital or so. And we have last week, we lost about 17,000 people to the virus. We're still losing 2,500 people a day. So even though the case count is going down, which is good, I think we're excited about that. But we'll still have to see what's going on with this new variant, BA2. Right now, it's 3% of the infection in the United States, but it may grow. Remember when Omicron was just 3% and then it was 100%. So we have to just be cautious. There's still not, the American Academy of Pediatrics still recommend that children mask in school because they're not totally vaccinated. Remember, we're only at 64% vaccinated by two, only about 30% by three. So we still have a long way to go in terms of fighting the pandemic. It's getting better and we're beginning to open up. And I think that's exciting, but we still have a way to go.
What more have we learned about the Omicron subvariant? Because if there's one thing we do remember about Omicron, it is, to what you mentioned, the acceleration in the spread and how it was more transmissible, even if the major symptoms weren't as severe. And so what do we know about the subvariant and whether or not it can reinfect people right now who had already been infected with Omicron, considering the amount of cases that had come to light as a result?
I think that's a great question. I think the answer is we don't know. We know that a small percentage of people are getting reinfected. Remember, if you had Delta, you can have Omicron, and you may get this new variant also. So, but if you're triply vaccinated, remember, the vaccines are very powerful. 90% reduction in mortality, 50 or 60% chance of getting the infection or higher. So that's really what we want to rely on, is making sure we do that, because we don't know yet what this new, what they sometimes call the stealth variant, will be like and what the impact will be on our population. We're still studying it. We're learning it. And then we're going from there. Now, if we had a vaccine rate of 90%, I think that everyone would be a lot more relaxed. But we're still only at 64% and 30% triply vaccinated. So we still have a way to go in terms of this vaccination. People say, oh, let's compare it to Europe. But the problem is Europe places, they're 90% vaccinated. We're a lot less than that. And remember, this is also a global pandemic. So we have to focus on what's going on worldwide, because we've not done a good job vaccinating people around the world, because it still will spread to us and cause us problems if we have a reservoir of people who are unvaccinated. We have 50 or 60 million people still not vaccinated in the United States.
Do you think getting those additional people vaccinated in the U.S. and getting that fully vaccinated rate up to that herd immunity level of 70, 80, 90% is going to require mandates? Or can this be done on a voluntary basis as the American public chooses to become vaccinated in the future?
I wish that I could say that if given good judgment and time, people would do it on their own because it just makes so much sense. You think about this is when you were a kid, you never said, oh, I don't want to take that polio vaccine. I want to get polio. Right now, I don't want to take the COVID vaccine because I'm healthy and I don't want to do it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I think the mandates, to me, they work. I mean, if in the military, they mandated in something north of 98% of people got vaccinated. They did it for airlines. It actually made things a lot better for United, American, all these airlines. They mandated vaccination, and the incidence of people getting sick going to the hospital went down a whole lot. So mandates do work. I mean, I would like to just say, I'd like the mandate when you go on a plane that you're vaccinated, but we're still so against the mandates. There's a lot of in terms of the political discourse, it has contaminated the public health message. And of course, the public health message has been a little bit muddled about what to do. It's not been as straightforward as it could be in terms of helping people make real decisions about what's important in life and being safe in their day-to-day life.
Doctor, just lastly, while we have you, reports this morning that Johnson & Johnson has halted production of their single-dose COVID-19 vaccine. We should also note that this had already come after a wave of headwinds for Johnson & Johnson with regard to the vaccination rollout, the efficacy in the single dose being lower than that of the other two-dose options that had moved forward more quickly. Prior production issues as well, we should note, and the WHO even specifying and other health officials specifying that if you were going to get boosted, that they would recommend more of a heterologous approach for a booster shot later on. And so with all of that in mind, this latest hiccup with Johnson & Johnson, what does that signal for kind of pushing back against any vaccine hesitancy that still does linger right now?
I think that it's important to know that there are two good vaccines, and Johnson & Johnson, the one-shot message, I think, was wrong. They should not have said one and done, because what that did is that said everybody's like, well, you take one, because the reality is the virus is mutating, and you're going to need to have a booster. So that's why if you have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you need to have a booster either with a Pfizer or Moderna and afterwards to bring up your immunity or have a second Johnson & Johnson. So I'm not sure exactly why. It may be a business decision about why they're reducing it, but certainly it was very, in terms of worldwide, it made sense. If you can give somebody one shot and have a tremendous impact on it, that was better. And that was what was driving the Johnson & Johnson thing. But when we realized that, you know, we're going to have to take boosters like most other vaccines that you have to take, it doesn't just work all the time. You need to bring up your immune system, that it really caused problems for them and their messaging about a one and done, because one and done should not be the message. Even we said for the other vaccines, it was two and done. It's really three and you're done, right? That's really what we have to get the message out to people is you got to get the three to get the full protection. Because right now there's still a lot of people who don't have full protection. And Johnson & Johnson, I think, was caught up in that message. And that may be why they're making that decision that they made with respect to the production of the vaccine.
Dr. Andre Campbell is professor of surgery at UCSF and ICU physician and trauma surgeon at Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital. And we thank you again so much for your time this afternoon.